It is Friday, August 30th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten by Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
The Banff Mountain Film Festival World Tour will present a big screen journey from exotic locations and whitewater paddling to climbers reaching the highest mountain peaks. Banff Film Festival will visit Fayetteville at the UARC Global Campus Auditorium on Thursday, September 12th and Friday the 13th. Tickets and more information are available at FayettevilleBanff.com.
Ahead on the program, new enrollment numbers at the University of Arkansas and the continued watch for chronic wasting disease in Arkansas deer.
Plus, Circle of Life Hospice prepares for the years ahead, and the three-person band Olassa brings all kinds of instruments into the Furman Garner Performance Studio.
First, Lieutenant Governor Mark Dar is withdrawing from the race for the 4th District seat in U.S. Congress. Though Dar filed an ethics complaint against himself about a week ago regarding discrepancies with his campaign financial disclosures, no ethics panel ruling has been issued yet. Jay Barth, a political scientist with Hendricks University, says Lieutenant Governor Dar's withdrawal from the race prior to any rulings may have to do a lot with a recent string of ethics problems for state officials.
Mark Dar was someone for whom potential ethics violations, you know, came to the surface at a time where those issues are very sensitive in the Arkansas political environment because of the Bookout resignation. And although it's a very different case, the Martha Shoffner resignation, you know, created an environment where I think there is a tremendous amount of sensitivity about ethics violations.
In Lieutenant Governor Dar's self-report to the Ethics Committee, he claimed expenses should have been classified as debt repayment from the campaign. The potential violations were initially revealed by the blog The Blue Hog Report prior to the Lieutenant Governor's report to the Ethics Committee. Jay Barth says the way in which the potential ethics violations were revealed is a result of what he calls an empowered citizenry.
I think one of the more interesting parts of the story is the fact that these forms that had these problematic filings have been sitting there for now 2 or 3 years, and it really did take a kind of citizen blogger to uncover some of these challenges. And I do think it does show in some ways the power of the internet and the power of rank and file citizens kind of to use this information in a way that has historically not been used by mainstream media.
Barth says Mark Dar's withdrawal did not create much of an ideological void among candidates. The Republican primary field is now down to 2, State House Majority Leader Bruce Westerman and Hot Springs businessman Tommy Mall.
The Arkansas Game and Fish Commission is working with landowners and other agencies to convert farmland back to woodlands and wetlands. The long-term project, started in conjunction with Ducks Unlimited and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, wants to make the land available for residents who wish to hunt, fish, and camp on the land. Waterfowl Project Coordinator Luke Naylor says while initial steps still need to be taken, the reaction from those involved has been extremely positive.
There's a lot of landowners there that have a strong desire to see this land back into its original state as it was 50 to 100 years ago prior to clearing. There's a lot of landowners, like the ones in this case, who believe that this land never should have been cleared in the first place. And those are the type of land that these programs, like the Wetland Reserve Program, really target.
The Game and Fish Commission will continue to meet with other organizations invested in the project to determine solutions for quick conversion.
The Arkansas Department of Environmental Quality will soon hold a public meeting in Yellville regarding the renewal of 2 wastewater discharge permits for National Park Service facilities on the Buffalo National River. Those permits are for the Buffalo Point Lower Plant and the Buffalo Point Upper Plant, both of which discharge treated wastewater into the Buffalo River. The meeting will be held at 6 p.m. October 1st at the Yellville Summit School District Cafeteria.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals are keeping playoff hopes alive during the final week of the regular season. Last night, the Nats defeated Tulsa 2-0 at Arvis Ballpark in Springdale to remain 2 games out of first place behind the Arkansas Travelers. The Naturals host their last regular season game tonight at 7 and then finish the season with 3 games this weekend in North Little Rock against the Travelers. There is a 20% chance of early evening showers tonight, then mostly clear with lows in the 70s. Tomorrow, sunny with highs from 96 to 99. Saturday night, a few clouds with lows between 72 and 77. And Sunday, there's a 30% chance of afternoon thunderstorms with highs in the mid-90s in northwest Arkansas and the upper 90s in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large, the final Friday of August 2013. I'm joined now on the phone by Michael Tilley, who is the editor and publisher of the City Wire that covers business, politics, culture, and more for the entire region. And a good Friday to you.
Good Friday to you, and go Hogs.
Oh, that's right. Tomorrow the season opens against Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, new era under a new coach.
That's right. Speaking of new, we have new jobless rates numbers and some slight upticks in the latest when compared to the previous month, but slightly down in some instances when compared year to year.
Right. It's also a shift from what we normally see. The jobless rate increased in Northwest Arkansas, and it fell in the Fort Smith area. However, the rates, as we've talked before, the rates can be deceiving. The number of employed continues to grow in Northwest Arkansas, and the market or the labor force continues to grow. It's just a function in Fort Smith of the employment and unemployment shift not being as great. But what we're seeing in Northwest Arkansas continues to be just a sign of a healthy economy. I think the shift upward from 5.7 to 5.9% from June to July. Again, it was just the labor force grew a little faster than the employment. Neither of those are necessarily a bad problem, but the July rate was also 6.2 below the 6.2% in July 2012 in Northwest Arkansas. So that was a good sign. But in Fort Smith, we'll take the positive where we can get it. I mean, it's moving in the right direction. If the Fort Smith area, though, they just need to get that that employment up. The metro employment was a little higher than it was higher than July 2012, but it was below the June employment. So year to year we did well, but we backslid a little bit compared to June. And what we're seeing, we had in the report on the CityWire, we're seeing some of the effects of this persistent unemployment in Fort Smith. It's the 55th consecutive month the jobless rate's been at or above 7%. One of those examples is the River Valley Regional Food Bank set an all-time high for food distribution in July. They placed just short of 1 million pounds of food with its 217 member agencies. So, again, persistent unemployment does have an impact.
The political landscape shifted yet again. We've been talking about the 2014 election season more in 2013 than I thought we might even in 2014, but now there is one fewer candidate for the 4th District Congressional GOP nomination. Lieutenant Governor Dar has removed himself from the race.
Yes, you know, and I know you visit with Roby Brock at Little Rock quite a bit, and we were talking last night about we think we're just going to get one of those big wheels that you spin on a board and put, like, you know, candidate steps out or candidate gets caught with bad finances or candidate gets caught in an affair and just spin it every day and see what the story could be, because it's what it seems like it is. But Lieutenant Governor Mark Dar has dropped out of the 4th Congressional District race, and he's been in it less than a month. But, you know, this follows Matt Campbell, a blogger with the Blue Hog Report, who's just been dogging Dar and Mark Martin over their reporting. And he found some serious discrepancies and Dar's campaign finance reports related to his campaign from his lieutenant governor campaign. And so Dar's had to self-report a few items, and he says he's in the process of amending his campaign expenditures. But, Senator Paul Bookout, a Democrat over Northeast Arkansas, recently resigned for some similar things. So we'll see. It may not be over for Dar. Just getting out of the race may not cause this issue to go away.
Well, and Lieutenant Governor Dar said the reason he was getting out was family.
And, yeah, okay.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that Matt Campbell from a blog was the one who had kind of dogged him. Former State Senator Bookout's financial irregularities were pointed out by a blogger, a sort of activist. This is a new sort of territory.
Well, and I love it. You know, I'm a big fan of this, and you know, we had the traditional media for a long time, and folks like the CityWire and Roby's Talk Business and Matt Campbell. We had the traditional media saying, "Gosh, you know, those online guys aren't real journalists. You know, it's us traditional media folks. We're the real watchdogs, and you're going to miss us when we're gone." Well, you know, like you said, it was Matt Campbell, and I think the gentleman's name, Mr. Hester, over in Jonesboro, pointed out Mr. Brookout's problems. A couple of years ago, the City Wire, we found that Representative Denny Altus had collected too much money from a person in the primary. You know, the limit's $2,000 per election, and Altus had to give back some money. So, yeah, it's nice to see the system work. That being said, it shouldn't be up to us. I mean, the Arkansas Ethics Commission or some other Secretary of State's office, somebody else ought to be catching this. There's too much slipping through, and hopefully some of the proposed ideas to catch this will catch on and be implemented.
Let me just extend this in sort of a inside baseball conversation for a moment. You mentioned you and Roby. There are others who watch politics who come from the old journalism model of, you know, you're not coming from an ideological pursuit. But both of the people who kind of investigated former Senator Brookout and Lieutenant Governor Dar do kind of wear an ideological position on their sleeve. Does that should we take any notice of that?
Yes, we should take notice, and we should be careful about that. But, you know, it's what Roby and I judge is not, you know, who gathered the evidence or who proposed the allegations, but what the facts are. What facts did they find? What's the information? Then we'll look at that. I can tell you when Matt Campbell and a few others came out and were starting to really get after Mark Dar, Roby, to his credit, pulled back and said, let's look at all the constitutional officers, mm-hmm. and let's look at their campaign finance report. That's what we're looking at. And that's when Roby and Jason Tolbert and some others then said, okay, well, they're, you know, for example, Governor Beebe was clean, but they found a few other things that have been cleaned, that are being cleaned up. And, you know, that's, again, it's yes, you have to take into account who is bringing the information forward, but ultimately you have to look at the facts and see where they lead you.
The word ultimately has rarely been used for the concept of I-49. It's been discussed really since close to when you and I became legal adults, and it continues to be discussed.
Well, and we had Thursday, we had representatives from Missouri, Arkansas, and Louisiana in Fort Smith, or really in Barling at the Arkansas Highway Department headquarters there, and talking about what they've done to date. You know, Randy Ort with the Arkansas Highway Department was there to talk about toll road studies and talk about what's needed for the Bella Vista bypass. And it was just an update. This I-49 coalition, they've been around off and on for years, and I guess they're back on again. I have some concerns about the on-again, off-again status, but whatever it is, let's hope that they and others can get this moving. Representative David Whitaker, a Democrat there from Fayetteville, talked about, you know, we need to find, in Arkansas, we need to find whatever we can do to get this moving at an accelerated rate to get, you know, this interstate through Arkansas, through the western corridor of Arkansas as soon as possible. He had this one gentleman, Guard Way, talking about, he's predicting that the Arkansas portion could be complete in 10 years. And I'd love to believe that. I'd love to get on that 10-year bandwagon, but one of the big problems with I-49, it's not a problem, it's an obstacle, and it's a physical obstacle, and it's the Arkansas River. That river
it's
bridge.
Not going anywhere.
No, and they're not going to move it. But the river bridge, the estimates, I mean, depending on who you want to believe, can range from $200 to $400 million just for that short segment over the Arkansas River there east of Fort Smith. So now the option, other folks will say, well, you can build it up to the river and then people just get on 540 route around to Alma. But, well, that's not entirely the convenience that's needed for a true route that stretches from literally the Gulf Coast up to Canada.
Safe to say you and I will have another I-49 conversation between now and the future?
Yeah, and I think we'll probably be talking to our grandkids about how we're still trying to get that thing built.
All right. Quickly, a prediction on this weekend's football game?
I think the Hogs will win. I'm afraid, though, it will be closer than what any of us want.
Okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with some high drama.
Well, okay.
All right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the City Wire that covers business, politics, culture, and more. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Good talking to you.
Since the mid-1930s, Tanglewood in the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts has stood for the finest in classical music and popular entertainment. Well, it was a good run while it lasted. I'm Peter Sagal. Join me, Carl Castle, our panelists, and classical pianist Emmanuel Axe as we all twerk the news from Tanglewood on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the news quiz from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, tomorrow morning at 9 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
Our purpose for being here today is to celebrate the launch of the Circle of Life Hospice Foundation and to thank the many people who have made this possible.
Although Circle of Life Hospice has been a part of the Northwest Arkansas community for decades, it didn't have a foundation until yesterday afternoon. At a press conference at Circle of Life's Springdale headquarters, board members discussed the launch of the new foundation. Chief Executive Officer Mary McKinney says they have been working on the official launch of a foundation for about 2 years.
The foundation is to build a capital maintenance endowment so we can keep our facilities looking fresh and new, just like day one when we opened. And then the programmatic endowments, of course, to continue to offer some programs that Circle Life is known for. Our Meals That Matter, that provides nutrition for our families while they're here with their loved ones. Our bereavement support programs, where we provide that support to our community at large at no cost. And then, of course, charity care, because we certainly feel like it's important that no one be denied access to our care if their funds may be limited or they don't have insurance.
McKinney says they have created a capital maintenance plan that identifies all of their capital maintenance needs for the next 30 years. She says this will enable administrators to calculate what their overall endowment needs to be. McKinney says they hope to have their plan finalized in the next 3 months. She says the money will help with things like the cosmetics of the building.
So when the buildings and the rooms need fresh paint, perhaps, you know, a higher end expense might be a roof replaced or an HVAC unit. It may be as simple as carpet. It may be reupholstery for furnishings. But we just feel it's important to invest, continue the investment in the facility so that all of our patients always, from this day forward, have an experience that is, you know, they feel that when they're here and with their loved ones that they've come to a place that's, you know, a five-star hotel. So someone dies with the utmost of dignity and respect. We're comfortable with our surroundings, not necessarily a traditional medical facility, a hospital room, if you will. And we just feel that that's an important part of our patient and our family experience to us.
With a $25,000 gift yesterday from the Miller McNeil Woodruff Foundation, board members announced that the foundation had met the 2013 portion of a $500,000 challenge grant from the Pat and Willard Walker Charitable Foundation. These funds will be used to establish the Pat Walker Building Maintenance Endowment for the Erling Howard Hospice Home in Springdale. Yesterday's announcement also included the introduction of the foundation's board members, as well as members of the Legacy Society, which are individuals who have established planned gifts to benefit Circle of Life and its foundation. More information is available at nwacircleoflife.org.
Yesterday on Ozarks, we brought you a story about the growing deer population in Arkansas, and we mentioned that urban deer hunting is one option some suggest for deer population control. On today's program, we have a story about one of the biggest recreational activities in the entire state, deer hunting. Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas has more.
In the 1930s, Arkansas hunters harvested just over 200 deer. Last year broke records at 213,000 white-tailed deer harvested.
That harvest is reflective of what we think of what our population is. It's just going uphill.
Ralph Meeker is a deer program coordinator with the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission.
So I don't think we're in any shortage of deer pretty much anywhere in the state. We have and our bag limits and our hunting framework is liberalized so to reflect that.
Those bag limits are 6 deer per hunter, but only 2 buck. Though they differ over zones, Meeker says that zone hopping is allowed. The commission has to rely on the hunter to attach a tag to the buck or doe and to call it into them for a confirmation number.
But you have to have that tag on that deer before you move it. And so with technology that we have now, you can either call in, you can get on your smartphone through the app or through the internet, and you can check that deer. And you can go on our Game and Fish website at agfc.com, and you can check real time how many deer have been checked in each county or each zone, or you know how many bucks have been harvested. So that's pretty neat. But you have to make sure that that tag is on the deer, and you do check the deer within 24 hours.
Though not felonies, there are penalties for failure to report your deer. It's a point system. Once a certain number of points are reached, a hunting license can be revoked. At the time of a stop, it is at the wildlife officer's discretion whether to confiscate rifles or vehicles.
It's important to help us manage wildlife. Wildlife, like I said, is a very important resource to Arkansans. Each year we spend about $1.8 billion on wildlife, whether it be viewing or hunting or fishing. So, you know, in order to help us, you know, responsibly manage these things, it's important that we get help from the public.
One of the ways the hunting public can help is to pay attention to the Arkansas cervid carcass restriction, recently updated in July. The restriction means that any animals killed out of state have to be properly processed before being brought into Arkansas.
You need to be aware that there are certain conditions that your harvest needs to be in, specifically deboned meat. You can only bring back deboned meat. If you're bringing back, you can bring back the cape. You can bring back the antlers attached to the skull, but the skull has to be clean of any tissue. And the reason for this is chronic wasting disease. Chronic wasting disease, it's caused by an abnormal protein called a prion, and it's really concentrated. We've found in spinal tissue, brain matter, bone marrow, liver and spleen. So we want people to bring back items that don't have those things in it.
If those items are discarded in the state, Arkansas would be infected. The prions are very resilient and stay active in the soil for a very long time. CWD is found in deer, elk, and moose. Similar to mad cow disease, it is always fatal. Missouri has a similar law, but Oklahoma does not. Every state was receiving federal monies to test for the disease. But since, states have lost that money, and many are not testing at all, or not like they used to. Arkansas is testing, but again, not like it used to.
But now that we don't have that testing going on in other states, we'll never know when states come up positive. So we felt it best that we be restrictive and be careful so that we don't infect Arkansas. Because like I said, you know, deer is a big business here. And that's part of responsible management is making sure that we're as disease-free as we possibly can be.
Part of responsible management is maintaining a proper habitat for the deer, which includes feeding and baiting. Meeker says there are a lot of drawbacks to using bait or bagged feed, such as corn, rice bran, protein pellets, anything commercially produced or bagged.
So there's some disease issues. You're negatively affecting animal movements and things like that. Could be also native habitat damage. So there's a lot of other negatives that come along with that. And there's some benefits to food plots over corn and other bagged items.
Food plots are planted crops like clover, winter wheat, oats, or chicory, and put nutrition out there that the deer can actually utilize. Meeker says food plots can be rewarding in that you're doing something good for the wildlife that you can see, whether the deer are harvested or not. Other restrictions that have been changed this year involve a reduction in the tension weight of a bow used in hunting and the minimum age of a hunter.
The age of six, you have to be at least 6 years old to hunt any type of big game in Arkansas, and that's because we were getting a lot of reports of, you know, 2 and 3 year old kids checking deer in when we know better, and just to keep the honest person honest. And we want the youth to participate, and we want them to be about the youth, but same breath, there's got to be we felt like there had to be a line drawn there somewhere.
There are designated weekends that are for youth hunts. As of this year, adult mentors on those youth hunts are not allowed to carry a firearm or archery equipment to maintain the focus on the youth. Many urban hunts begin soon, urban meaning bow hunting within city limits, including Fort Smith next month. Open bow season begins the fourth Saturday of September. It's one of the longest bow seasons in the country and lasts until February 28th. Gun season, however, is pretty short, beginning November 9th and ending the first weekend in December.
Gun hunters are very effective at removing deer. Our gun hunts here in the state are situated usually along and are aligned with our rut, our mating period of deer, and there are a lot more folks that actually gun hunt. So they have they can make a very big dent in our deer population in a hurry. So you know, we try to provide, you know, maximum opportunity, but not at the cost of our deer herd. You know, we want to make sure that we have plenty next year to harvest as well.
Applying for a hunting license is pretty easy. Just fill out a form at a Walmart or sporting goods store. The cost ranges from $10 to $60, depending on which stamps are added, like fishing or duck hunting. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
Today marks the end of the first full week of classes at the University of Arkansas, and earlier today, the university held a press conference to discuss early enrollment figures for the 2013-2014 academic year. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis was at the press conference, and he has this story.
The University of Arkansas campus has grown at what may seem like a fever pitch over the past 5 years, both in terms of students and in terms of classroom space. Though the total enrollment won't be official until the 11th day of classes, Chancellor G. David Gearhart announced preliminary enrollment numbers for this school year this morning.
I'm very pleased to announce that this year's enrollment number confirms that we are still doing things right. And it's my pleasure to announce to you that we have, as of today, 25,365 students.
That's an increase over last year's enrollment of 24,537 students and an increase of more than 6,000 students since 2008, a growth rate of about 32%. This is the first time that enrollment has topped 25,000 students at the nearly 150-year-old campus. Provost Sharon Gaber says that not only is the milestone significant for the sheer numbers, but it surpasses previous goals set by the university.
Only a few years ago, we had a long-range goal of reaching 25,000 students by 2021, the year of our sesquicentennial. We thought it would be tough, it would be ambitious, and if we worked hard, we could reach it. Needless to say, while we wanted and we planned to grow, it happened a little faster than we expected.
The reasons for increased enrollment vary, but among them are increased diversity rates, stepped up recruitment efforts, and an increase in the school's retention and graduation rate, which Chancellor Gearhart announced has recently reached 60%, the highest of any public college in Arkansas. But Provost Gaber listed several other reasons for the school's continued growth.
Chancellor Gearhart already mentioned a few factors. Other major factors included aggressive recruitment and outreach efforts throughout the state, student support through the lottery scholarships, and the University of Arkansas's growing national reputation as one of the best public universities in the country.
But with growth comes a need for facilities to accommodate a growing student population.
We've had an estimated $450 million in new construction since 2011. We've renovated, expanded, and modernized our campus. In fact, several major construction projects concluded this summer were just in time for this semester's class to arrive. This put us in great position to meet our goal of being a top 50 university while providing Arkansas with the university it needs and deserves.
In addition to more beds and seats in the classroom and dining halls, more than 60 new tenure-track faculty members have been added since 2010, with 14 added just this academic year. Considering the pace at which enrollment has grown, and taking into account that the previous goal of 25,000 students by 2021 has been exceeded, Provost Gaber says that the new goal is to stabilize enrollment at around 28,000 students in the next few years, but that number isn't necessarily a hard and fast cap.
We will certainly assess once we get there. I think there's a number of factors that would suggest that that's really where our infrastructure can handle. But then we'll want to look. We know that that's still below the SEC average. So we want to look. We want to remain competitive in the U.S. and internationally. We want to remain competitive in the SEC. So I think for us, it's we'll get to 28,000. We'll look and see what we have in place and what we can do. We may want to stay there. We may want to continue to move forward.
In addition to overall enrollment growth, university officials announced that undergraduate enrollment has reached a record 21,083 students, representing 27% growth over the last 6 years, and graduate student enrollment has grown to a record of 3,904 students, or an increase of 16% since 2006. And diversity has also grown among the student body, with 4,474 minority students enrolled this academic year, an increase of 80% since 2008. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.
The 11th anniversary of Savor the Flavor, a self-guided restaurant, food, and beverage sampling tour, is Tuesday, September 3rd from 5 to 9. This Faith in Action fundraiser will be held at various restaurants on and around Dixon Street in Fayetteville. Tickets are limited and available at 463-3456. KUAF is supported by the City of Fayetteville and dedicated to the welfare of animals and the people who associate with them. 444-3456 or Fayetteville Animal Services on Facebook for photos and information.
It is Friday, August 30th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me, Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Woo! Pig suey.
You did that last Friday on the air.
Well, now it's time to do that again.
Tomorrow, season opener against Louisiana Lafayette.
But it won't take up all of your weekend.
It won't. No, it's not going to take up much of mine, actually. I won't be going to the game. Not as a protest or anything, but just other things have developed
for me. Okay, it was the generic you.
Oh.
Not much of the generic.
It doesn't all revolve around
no.
me? Okay, sorry.
Gosh. So we're going to consider some other things to do. I don't really care what Kyle's doing. He'll figure it out.
Yes.
We're going to talk about music, some drama, and my favorite thing, some shopping.
Okay.
All right, music.
Tonight. You know I love that.
Okay, I do know you love
yes.
that. Did you have a wonderful time?
Last weekend?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I did. And I think a lot of people did. I think people who attended the concerts, I think the people who performed at the concerts.
It was pretty amazing.
It was. It was a good time.
All right. Kickoff concert tonight with a band you might remember from last weekend, mm-hmm. Three Penny Acre.
Yes. Oh, This Land.
Kicking off the This Land exhibit at on the Walker Landing at Crystal Bridges in Bentonville. It's free, 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Music on the Square, the final summer edition in Kingston.
I don't like the words final and summer together. I never
I know.
Do. Nothing against autumn, but I'm just never quite ready to get rid of it.
I know. The performers will be Heirloom.
I love them.
And Emily Cates with Drew Pierce.
Wow.
So it's a great night. This starts at 7 o'clock and it's free.
Just drive to Kingston, get your lawn chair out, and have a good time.
That's exactly my plan. Sponsors are the Kingston Public Library and Friends of the Library. And you can find out more at 957-1089. Or you can go see the Verve Pipe.
Wow, really?
Well-known band.
Yeah.
Had the 1996 smash hit The Freshman. They've been doing children's music, but they're back playing rock and roll tonight at 7 inside the Cherokee Casino in West Siloam Springs. That show starts at 10:30, and it is free. With Oklahoma Band 2 a.m. is the opening act about 7.
And that's an Abbott and Costello routine
yes,
waiting to happen.
Yes, who's on first? And I don't know, the engineer.
2 a.m. is on at 7.
The band Perry mm-hmm. is this weekend, 8 o'clock on Sunday night at the Downstream Casino in Joplin.
Okay.
Tickets for that show are $40 to $80 at downstreamcasino.com. And there's an outdoor concert Monday night with the Bella Vista Community Concert Band.
Labor Day night, okay.
7 o'clock at Blowing Springs Park in Bella Vista, and if you get there early, they're serving dinner. All right, drama. Mm-hmm. Little drama this weekend. The Spiritualist.
Opened Thursday night.
So excited about this show. They're calling it the world premiere, and it's the world premiere of this script.
Of the full production.
Right.
It's been workshopped in L.A. and Indiana and here.
Exactly. A new script by Bob Ford starring his wife, Amy Herzberg, as an Englishwoman who sees dead people. And writes music for some of them.
Yes, it's not only that she talks to composers, she then translates their compositions.
Really excited about this show. Showtimes are 7:30 today and tomorrow, 2 and 7 on Sunday, and again the next two weekends at the Nadine Baum Studios in Fayetteville, where, thank the gods of theater, they have new padded seats. And a sure sign of fall, and one of my favorite things, the Prairie Grove Clothesline Fair, a shopping venue where you can ditch your husband and the – I mean, there's something for the whole family.
There you go.
It's in its 62nd year, sponsored by the Art Center of the Ozarks. One-of-a-kind crafts by some 200 artisans with exhibition square dancing, antique farm equipment, gospel music, a chance to talk Civil War history with the sons of Confederate veterans, lots of food. See what I mean about ditching the husband and the kids? This starts at 8:30 tomorrow morning and is open until 3 o'clock on Monday afternoon at Prairie Grove Battlefield State Park. It is free. There, you need a $5 bill in your hand for parking.
There you go. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
If you want to get really good at remembering things, 43,
okay.
Here's the trick.
27.
Create wild, outlandish, and therefore memorable images in your mind's eye. A ram bouncing into my parents' front door, which is 43.
Oh. You missed 11.
Oh!
Yeah.
It was pornographic.
The Mystery of Memory. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
The TED Radio Hour, Sunday at noon on KUAF. Olassa is a three-person, multi-instrument band. Gayne Robertson handles guitar and sings. Tyler Bocker plays drums, tuba, and trumpet. Allison Olassa, her last name serves as the band's moniker, sings and plays piano, accordion, and more. This weekend, they drove all their instruments to Fayetteville from their native Lawrence, Kansas. Olassa's debut recording is I Love You, Come Back to Me, and they're almost ready to release their next CD. Sunday afternoon, Olassa came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio to play a couple of songs and to explain their first foray into Fayetteville.
Yeah, you know, we bought a map and we put a pin in Lawrence, Kansas, which is where we're from. Drew a circle 500 miles around it, and this direction is south, and it's real nice. They're all just an hour and a half away. It's a great little trip for us, and we've never been through any of these cities as a band, Olassa, so it's pretty cool. But as a band, Olassa, we just released our EP. We're almost done with our LP. Tyler over here is engineering that. He's the third member of the band, and so we've been down here, and we're gonna continue coming down here, especially when we release the new LP.
Tyler, engineering this. I mean, there is a basically a symphony in here already. We've got the accordion on the table. There's tuba, trumpet. Does that provide any more? Or a different kind of challenge for an engineer?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little unconventional, but I'm a little more used to it now after already making one record with these guys. But it's a little different, but they're standard instruments, so it works.
As musicians or songwriters, having a lot of different instruments at your disposal that you can use, does that open more than if you were just using guitar or piano?
I think it opens doors and it closes doors. We're sitting there, we're just like, okay, how many of these instruments do we want to bring into the studio? And do we want to bring the tuba? Do we want to bring in the electric guitar? We could bring in what do we want to bring in? And so it really opens up our soundscape. But as far as when you play in live shows, it can really limit, because we're a three-piece and everyone thinks, oh, well, these guys should sound check with just a couple minutes. But we're really like a six or seven piece, because we have so much to check. And so it has its ups.
Do you have to think about that when you're thinking about the set list, too? Like, okay, I don't want to move from that to that, or that'll take time.
Yeah, we try to group them together, because the accordion on and off is a lot. I have to be careful with it, up and down, back and forth.
Just picking up that tuba, just watching Tyler behind us, he plays the drums, the trumpet, and the tuba, and you lug that tuba on your lap, and then put it down in the middle of a song and start playing some rhythm. You can wear a guy out, and I'm just carrying the stuff in can wear you out.
I mean, so Tom, there'll be times when you're playing the tuba and then you have to play the drums in the same song?
Yeah.
So, okay, take me through that physically. You've got the tuba.
I just, like, just put it down on its bell real quick and pick up the sticks and start playing.
Allison does the same thing with the accordion and keys. And sometimes she'll pick up an acoustic guitar, and I'll hand her a guitar, and, you know, she'll pull off this accordion and kind of swing through if we're backlined with a bunch of other bands, you know, and there's all this gear up there, and you're just tiptoeing and, like, hoping you're not about to crash into something, and you're handing off all these massive instruments. It's
delicate.
Yeah, delicate. They're all old. I mean, what year is your tuba?
You know, I'm not actually sure. It's probably from... It'd be hard to say, really. I've made some... I don't really know, to be honest. It's been rebuilt, so it's...
It's pre-50s, though.
Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, part of
Which part?
Yeah, part. I mean, I
see.
Kind of like Frankenstein's monster, it sounds like. You got some parts from here and there.
Yeah.
Frankenstein's monster that, you know, sounds like a carnival. That's what people were saying last night. Like, I heard a tuba... And I knew there wasn't a carnival in town. I looked up, and the guy had a tuba on his, yeah. So it's like, yeah.
Well, let's get set up, and then we'll hear an original.
An original, the opening track off of our EP, and that one's called Where Will I Live?
One, two, three, four.
Where will I live when I die? Where will I live when I die? When is the time to become a man? When is the time to become a man? I'm a little older now and I come to understand when it was time to become a man.
Do you know what it's like? Do you know what it's like? To be pale and thin and too sick to give a damn. Do you know what it's like? How many wrongs have I done? How many wrongs have I done? When will I get it right? I'm too tired to get a fight. How many wrongs have I done?
Yeah.
so high and lonesome as I wear down this road. And someplace I'm welcome is where I will go. There's no need for anger, just a little charm, and I won't be placing that back to my arms. Well, it don't mean nothing what's on my mind, but ain't it something what little time, 'cause one day you're right there. Tomorrow brings change, and I am no doctor, so this may feel strange. As I wear down this road, and someplace I'm welcome is where I will go. Well, I am no doctor, so this may feel strange. One day you're right there, but tomorrow brings change.
The song Nathan, yet to appear on a CD, by the band Olassa inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF. Expect it to be on a future CD. The band Olassa is from Lawrence, Kansas, and they appeared in Fayetteville and Tahlequah this week, and it includes Kane Robertson, Allison Olassa, and Tyler Bockert. Their first CD is titled I Love You, Come Back to Me. You can learn more about the band at their website, olassa.com, and that is spelled O-L-A-S-S-A. This is Ozarks at Large.
This week on This American Life, little kids on a long car trip.
I did not sing. He's lying. He lies all the time.
Students being dropped off at college.
I had everybody in the car crying my first time.
A bachelorette party.
The only thing I know is that I need flip-flops, a whistle, and something else.
And everything else that happens at a rest stop on the side of the highway.
And suddenly a clown truck filled with clowns cut us off.
This week.
This American Life with Ira Glass, twice this weekend, Saturday morning at 6 and Sunday morning at 10 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
And joining us now is Rhonda Dillard, our underwriting director.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
It's always good when she comes in because it means we're giving things away.
Yeah, listeners' ears perk up. It's like, oh, Rhonda.
Rhonda's here.
I love that. I love giving away things to our listeners. It's cool.
That's why when people will just meet you randomly, they'll have this good impression. I like her for some reason. Oh, yeah, she gives stuff away.
See, we like that.
What are we giving away?
Today we are giving away a ticket subscription to Theater Squared, their 8th season, which I believe starts maybe even today.
It started yesterday.
Last night. And so these are two tickets for the entire season. Productions include The Spiritualist, 4,000 Miles, Good People, A Christmas Carol, Hamlet, and I think I'm missing one, but quite a few productions.
It's their largest season, if you measure it by productions, yet.
Wow, very cool.
They've opened with The Spiritualist, which I'm really excited about because I got to see it workshopped, I think, 2 years ago.
Yes, it was workshopped here two years ago. It's been workshopped by the Blank Theater in Los Angeles.
Right.
And also by New Harmony in Southern Indiana. So
So I'm excited to see it final.
Yeah, yes. Very impressive.
Yes, it's a world premiere in its full production, opened last night. Tonight is the gala opening.
Right.
And then it goes for a couple more weeks.
I think through the 15th or something like that.
Very exciting.
So what comes with this package? Two tickets?
Two tickets for the entire season. Okay. So someone will be very lucky to have them, and I hope they enjoy all the shows.
Okay.
So we're going to let the computer pick. Bum, bum, bum. And Antoinette, I'll let you read the winner.
Okay, great. Well, congratulations to James Kissinger of Rogers.
All right.
Congratulations. Yay. I will shoot you an email today with all the details, and we'll get with Martin, and you will get the tickets and be covered for the entire season of Theater Squared.
Are there other
productions?
Giveaways people can register for?
Oh, absolutely. Right now we have also another season subscription to the Fort Smith Symphony.
Okay.
And very soon we will have Harvest Fest tickets up and coming.
Oh, that is soon.
And a couple of other surprises. They're not confirmed yet, but we're working on them.
I know what she's talking about. Fingers crossed. It'll be fun.
I know. It'll be very, very interesting.
I don't know what she's talking about, so I'm going to ask
later. We've got Kyle in the dark.
That's right. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you, guys.
Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. Support for KUAF comes from Dog Party USA, hosting its annual Dogs Night Out Saturday, September 7th at 6 p.m. This fundraiser is a progressive gourmet meal for the dogs and an evening of food and live music for their owners. Tickets are available at the door with proceeds to benefit the Humane Society of the Ozarks. More information is available on Facebook or at dogpartyusa.com.
The Eureka Springs Original Ozark Folk Festival presents a live recording of Michael Jonathan's Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour Saturday, October 26th in the City Auditorium. Submissions are now being accepted for local talent to perform during this worldwide broadcast. Entries must be received by September 15th. Information is available online at ozarkfolkfestival.com.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
We'll be back on Monday, along with Timothy Dennis and Christina Thomas, for kind of a last wrap-up of our live shows from the library.
Yep.
And I'll be with Christina Sunday morning at 9.
Yes.
Have a happy Labor Day weekend.